Okay, hi. This week, this past week's Parsha, we read Parsha Shoftim, which has the following commandment inside of it. I'm reading from the first source, Devarim Perek Yitzayim, Pasuk Yitzalim. Ki tavol ha'aretz asher Hashem alokecha notein lecha, v'yirashta v'yishavta ba, v'amarta asima alai melech l'chol agayim asher sivivotai. When you come to the land that God has given to you, and you inherit it, and you settle in it, and you say, please put upon us a king like all the other nations around us, the pasuk tells us, what's the mitzvah? Som tasim alecha melech, asher yifar Hashem alokecha bo, mikerav achecha tasim alecha melech. You should put upon yourself a king. Who? Someone that God chooses from amongst your brothers, meaning Jewish. Lo tuchal latet alecha ish nachri, asher lo achicha hu. You are not allowed to pick someone who is not Jewish because they are not from your brothers. What sounds like here is we have a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah d'oraisa, to appoint a king when you get to the land and you inherit it and you settle in it. The problem with this commandment is that if we continue on looking at our history, it doesn't quite fall out this way. In Yehoshua itself, we have the following psukim, which describe to us the situation of, as our pasuk said, v'yirashta v'yishavta ba, inheriting the land and settling it. I'll read to you from Yehoshua, Parashat Aleph. V'yitein Hashem liYisrael et kol ha'aretz asher nishba latet la'avotam. God gave us the whole land as he promised to our forefathers. V'yirshuha, same language, and we inherited it. V'yishvu ba, and we lived in it. We settled it. Vayinach Hashem lahem misaviv. He rested all of our enemies from around us, meaning he gave us complete peace. Kechol asher nishba la'avotam. V'lo amad ish b'pneihem mikol ha'oyveihem. And just like he swore to our fathers, and we had nobody stand up against us from all of our enemies. Et kol oyveihem natan Hashem bi'adam. All our enemies God gave over to us. And then again in Parashat Gimel, Vayihim miyamim rabim acharei asher heiniach Hashem liYisrael mikol oyveihem misaviv. And it was in those days after, again, Hashem let rest, or Hashem gave us peace from all of our enemies around us, and Yeshua was getting old. Meaning by the time of the end of Sefer Yehoshua, when Yeshua is getting old, we have reached this point in our history, which is described in our pasuk as v'yirashta v'yishavta ba. We have inherited our land, and we have settled in our land. So the obvious question that you have to ask is, if our pasuk is telling us that when you inherit the land and you settle in the land, you have to appoint a king, and that's a mitzvah, why didn't we appoint a king? Why didn't Yehoshua, at the end of Sefer Yehoshua, go out and say, we have now hit the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah, let us appoint a king? And not only does he not appoint a king, we don't get a king until Sefer Shmuel, which is 300 years later. So for 300 years, it sounds like, we're not fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. And that's really difficult. How can it be that for 300 years we're ignoring a mitzvah? That's a problem. Then another problem shows up. Sefer Shmuel occurs. We finally are about to get a king. But what happens in this story? Also something very strange. Shmuel Aleph, Perachet. The people come, by Hikasher Zakein Shmuel, by Yisemek Banav Shoftim Yisrael. Shmuel is now getting old, and his sons now become the Shoftim. He doesn't appoint a king either. He tells, okay, his sons will be Shoftim. But the people don't like this. Pasuk Dalet. V'yitkapsu kol zikne Yisrael, v'yivoel Shmuel haramasa. The elders of the people come to Shmuel, to in Ramah. V'yomu elav, and they say to him, hinei ata zakanta, ubanecha lo elchu b'drachecha. You are old, and your sons are not good like you. They're not walking in your ways. Ata sima lanu melo, l'shiptenu kachol agayim. Just like our pasuk. Please put upon us a king to judge us like all the other nations. And now we would have expected, yay, we're fulfilling the word of God. Finally, 300 years later, we've pushed off this mitzvah. Now we're fulfilling the mitzvah. Shmuel should have been overjoyed. What happens? Pasuk vav. Vayiraha davar b'nei Shmuel. Shmuel is upset. Shmuel is very, very upset at the Jewish people. This is bad. Kasher amru tinala nimel v'shavtein. Because they said, let us have a king to judge us. But it's palel Shmuel al Hashem. And Shmuel goes crying to God, what am I going to do? They're doing this horrible thing. And God's reaction is also, not God, yay, they're doing a mitzvah. What does God say? Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, shema v'kol ha'am l'chol asher yomolecha. Listen to them. Do what they say. Ki lo oscha ma'asu. Ki oti. They don't hate you when they did this. They hate me. God is saying, they hate me by asking for a king. So again, it sounds like we were fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. And the reaction of Shmuel is, oh my gosh, that's horrible. And the reaction of God is, they must hate me that they're doing this mitzvah. that just doesn't seem to make any sense. And then, not only that, it gets worse. Shmuel later has two other speeches where he bashes the Jewish people for asking for a king. The next one, skip to the next source, Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud. This time now, he has a pick Shaul. Shaul is now going to be appointed publicly in front of all the people to be king. And he again goes and bashes the fact that they're asking for a king. He says as follows, V'yitzak Shmuel el Hashem Mitzvah. Shmuel gathers the nation to Mitzvah. V'yomer el b'nei Yisrael, Ko amar Hashem elokei Yisrael, Anokhi ha'leiti et Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim, V'atzil etchem miyad Mitzrayim, U'miyad kol ha-mamachot ha-lochatzim etchem. God says, I have taken you out of Egypt, I have saved you from Egypt, and from all the other kingdoms that have pressured you or bothered you. And what did you do? Va'atem hayom me'astem es elokeichem. You have disgraced God. You have shown that you have hated God. Asher hu moshia lachem. If he has saved you mikol ratchem from all the bad v'saratchem and all the sorrows you've had. Va'tomer lo, how did you do this horrible thing? What did you do? Ki melech tasim aleinu. When you ask, please put a king on me. And he goes on to continue to yell at them for asking for a king. And then not only that, a third time he goes and he yells at them again. And this time now is after Shaul is already king. It's too late. Shaul is king. And now they're having this big party for Shaul because Shaul just had a major victory against Nachash HaAmoni. And Shmuel goes and he makes a big display again of being angry that they asked for a king. I'm not going to read the Pesukim inside because we don't have time, but you could look at it in Perek Yudbet where he says to the people, gather around, and if what you did was incorrect by asking for a king, I'm going to scream out to God that he should let it to start to rain, meaning it's the harvest season. We don't normally get rain in the harvest season. So he says, I'm going to scream out to God and rain's going to come at this exact point. I'm going to make a nes to prove to you that what you did was bad. I'm going to make a miracle in what is normal, meaning we don't normally have rain and we will. And of course what happens in the next pasuk, rain starts coming down. And now the Jewish people on Pasuk Yutet get very nervous because now they realize, well, they really did mess up. Vayomu kol ha'am el Shmuel, they come screaming to Shmuel, Hitba'el b'lad avdecha el Hashem elokecha, please, daven for us for God. Now we know we messed up. Ba'al namot, so we won't die. Ki yasachnu al kol chatoseinu ra'al l'shol ad yamelech. We now understand that it was bad that we asked for a king. So we have two so far major problems with our pasuk in this week's parsha, which again sounds like we are told that when we get to Eretz Yisrael and we inherit Eretz Yisrael, we are supposed to get a king. One, we don't in Sefer Yoshua. And number two, when we finally do in Sefer Shmuel, we get yelled at three times and we find out God is mad at us, Shmuel is mad at us, to the point that we even regret that we've done it at all. And that seems very strange if, again, it's a mitzvah to appoint a king. On top of that, last point, the person who's chosen to be king is also a little bit strange. Meaning we know from Sefer Bereishis, your next source, that what Yaakov promises is Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda, meaning who's going to be king? Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda is going to be king. As we know, that's true, David, Shlomo. But who gets chosen as king first at this point in history when they ask for a king? Shaul. Where's Shaul from? So I gave you the Pasuk in Shmuel Al Parteh, Pasuk Aleph, but he Ishmi Binyamin. He's from Shevet Binyamin. He's not even from the right Shevet. So obviously from the beginning, they didn't even give a king that was supposed to last forever, because the kingdom is supposed to go to Yehuda. So not only is it pretty much proven that they didn't like the question that was asked, but it also seems like Shmuel didn't give them the type of king that was going to last forever anyway. And we also see that through the personality of Shaul. He's the one that's hiding in the closet when he gets appointed. He's the one who's very passive and can't really go out and fight his battles. His son Yehonatan has to fight for him. David has to go fight the giant for him. He's very nervous and he doesn't really have the status or the persona of a king that we would have expected when getting a king. So now we have a question, which is, what do we do with our pasuk? Meaning, it sounds like from our pasuk that we have a commandment to have a king, but from evidence from Yoshua and Shoftim, as we'll get to in a little bit, and Shmuel, it sounds like a king is a bad thing. So what are we going to do? So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to go back to our pasuk. Now we're going to reanalyze our pasuk to see that there's actually two different ways to read this commandment of having a king. One which will show that maybe it isn't a commandment to have a king, and one which will say that it is. Then we will look at the context to try to figure out from the whole perek if we really are supposed to have a king or not. And then we're going to open it up to all of Tanakh to get different clues from all over the place to see what we really feel about kingdom in general. So if you go back to the first source on your source sheet, the pasuk again, from this week's parsha, let's read it again together. Ki tavol al haaretz asher Hashem alokecha notein lecha. When you come to the land that God will give you, v'yirashta v'yishavta ba, and you inherit it and you settle in it. Ve'amarta, asima alai melech v'chol ha'goyim asher tzvotai. You say, please give me a king like all the other nations that are around me. Then, som tasim alecha melech asher yivchar Hashem alokecha ba mikarev achecha. Then you should go and get a king that God chooses from amongst your brothers. There are two very different readings to this pasuk. Reading number one was the one we've been implying the whole time. When you go to the land and you ask for a king, what's the mitzvah? Som tasim alecha melech. Go appoint yourself a king. That's the mitzvah. This is a very different reading to this pasuk, which is as follows. When you come to the land and you inherit it and you're in it and you ask for a king, then what should you do? You're allowed to have a king, but what's the mitzvah? The king that you pick is Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo. Meaning, what's the emphasis of the commandment? Is the emphasis Som Tasim Alecha Melech? Or is the emphasis Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo? Meaning, if you're going to be getting a king, second way of reading the pasuk, then the commandment is only get a king that God chooses. You can't just go out and pick for yourself a king. The biblical commandment is, when you're going to get a king, this is how one should choose a king. Those are two very different readings to this pasuk, and now I want to analyze the language a little bit more to see how do I know which reading of the pasuk is the more correct version. Meaning, if you read it according to the first version, it sounds like having a king is positive. There's a good thing about having a king, and therefore you should have a king. The second reading sounds a little bit more negative. Nothing good about a king, or maybe it's not even good to have a king, right? But if you want one and you ask for one, this is the way to have one, which makes it more negative. So we want to look in the pasuk and see, can I prove having a king is positive or having a king is negative? And then, of course, I'll know how to read the pasuk. So we start off, I'm going to go in order of the pasuk, with the word ki. We don't have time to do an analysis of the word ki in Tanakh. But ki comes up all over the place in Tanakh. However, I specifically went through Tanakh looking for places where the word ki is in the beginning of the pasuk and doesn't mean because, but means when, and is coming to introduce to us a situation that then brings about a mitzvah. So like, when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you ask for a king, or when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you settle land and ask for a king, then mitzvah. Those are the type of psukim I was looking for, all starting with the word ki. Now, if you look through all of Tanakh, which again we're not going to do, and I didn't give you any of these psukim because there's like a few hundred of them, most of them, and majority of them, you'll have to believe me, are negative. They are negative type of situations. I'll give lots of examples. When you want to have an Eved Ivri, which is assumed to be a negative type of situation, then the halacha continues on what the halacha is supposed to be, all starting with the word ki. When you want to sell your daughter into slavery, starting with the word ki. I would assume everyone would agree that is negative. When you have a Navi Sheker, someone who comes, a prophet, and comes and starts saying incorrect things and telling you to serve Avodah Zarah, that would be quite negative, what you do with a Navi Sheker. Mesis Umeidia. When you have your relative come and tell you to do negative things and serve Avodah Zarah, what you do. When you have an Ir Nidachat, right, when you have a whole community serving Avodah Zarah, kill them out, what do you do? And of course, the famous examples of Eshet Yifat Toar, right, what do you do when you go to war and you see this pretty lady and you want her, right, all again, starting with Raki, followed by when a man has a woman who, a wife who he loves and a wife who he hates, what he has to do with the wife who he hates, how he has to treat her nicely. That also is a negative situation, having a wife who you hate. And of course, followed by Ben Sora and Mora, which I would think is for sure a negative when you have a rebellious child, what happens? We've got lots, and they're all over Tanakh. I just picked some highlights of whens, which end with a negative type of situation, and a mitzvah about what you do. Putting our mitzvah together with this one would make it sound negative. When you come to Eretz Yisrael and you ask for a king, which you shouldn't do, but you do, well, this is what one should do. However, I have to be honest, there are many situations, not the majority, but for sure the minority, of whens that are neutral type of situations. When you build a house and it has a flat roof, then you should build a fence around it. There's nothing negative about buying a house with a flat roof unless you don't put the fence on and someone dies from it, so I guess you can argue. But the point is there are neutral examples, and therefore this is not a great proof, but it's something, again, starting with the word when and getting into a situation, and then a mitzvah, that style pushes us to say possibly we could read the pasuk in a negative fashion. But it's not absolute proof, so let's move on. Then the pasuk continues, our pasuk, to say when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you inherit and you settle the land. So I went looking through Tanakh for all the places choices and all the mitzvot that we have that you're not supposed to do until you inherit and settle the land. There are many mitzvot that you have to do when you get to Eretz Yisrael, and those are the obvious mitzvot tuluyah ba'aretz, because without being in Eretz Yisrael, you can't do the mitzvah. But I specifically looked for mitzvot where you have to be settled and already inheriting the land. You don't have these psukim just because I wanted to, your story was long enough already. But there are a few different situations, I'm not going to read the psukim, where the psukim are, where the topics are as follows. Number one is in Arim Miklat, where in Devarim it tells us when you are be'arashta be'ashaftem ba'arehem, when you are inherited and settled in your land, take aside three cities and make Arim Miklat. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I can't take three cities and make them into Arim Miklat unless I own the land, right? I can't dedicate the land before I own them. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. The next one that comes up in also Devarim Chavav is the mitzvah Bikurim. What's the mitzvah Bikurim? The mitzvah Bikurim is to take from my fruit, the first fruit, and to dedicate, bring it down to the Beis HaMikdash. Well, unless I own land, I can't grow fruit. So therefore, again, it makes sense that that mitzvah, I have to inherit the land, settle the land, move in the land, grow my fruit, before I can do the mitzvah Bikurim. That makes sense as well. The next time we see it, there's only two more, is the commandment to build the Beis HaMikdash, which is interesting that God wants us to be settled ourselves before we can go and build Him a home. And last and not least, Kilat HaMalach, which also makes sense, meaning once I get into Eretz Yisrael and I kill out all of my enemies in Eretz Yisrael, now, once I'm done, I should go hunt out HaMalach, who's ever left, to go kill out and find HaMalach. The one that makes no sense, killing out HaMalach, killing HaMalach. The only one that to me makes no sense is getting a king. Meaning, why would I wait till I finish fighting all my battles, finish all my wars, to get a king to lead me in battle? Doesn't make any sense, right? If I'm going to get a king, wouldn't it have made more sense as soon as I get into Eretz Yisrael, before I get into Eretz Yisrael, get a king, now I have a leader in battle, they'll help me fight all my battles. Why would I get a king when I'm finished, right? Because ideally we were supposed to kill out all our enemies and live in peace for the rest of our lives. What do I need a king for? So that's why our pasuk already is very, very strange. If we're going to say it's specifically a mitzvah to have a king after I finish settling the land, what's the point? What's the point of this mitzvah at all? We're going to leave that as a question for now. We will come back to that in a little bit. Let's move on in our pasuk. So already we see in our pasuk, ki sounds a little shaky, making us think this is a little bit negative. The whole fact that we have to wait till we inherit and settle the land also questions if this is really a positive mitzvah, because why am I waiting until that point? And then the pasuk, I think, gets stranger. The amarta asima alai melech kechol hagoyim asher tzviotai. And I say, put upon me a king like all the nations around me. When do we have mitzvahs that are dependent of me saying something? Meaning, that's not part of the mitzvah. Meaning, if having a king is positive, who cares if I ask for a king or if I don't? When I get into Eretz Yisrael and I settle the land, I should get a king. Why does the pasuk mean that I have to wait until I ask for a king? That seems very strange. Meaning, it sounds more a little bit negative, where if you ask for a king, then you get it, because a king is not a good thing to have. But if you ask for it, then you can have it. Without saying it's negative, the pasuk is just very strange. If you had taken that phrase out, the pasuk would have made a lot more sense. I'll read you the pasuk without it. Ki tavo la'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha, when you come to a land that God gave to you, v'yirashta v'yashafta ba, and you inherit it and you settle it, so'um tasim alecha melech, go appoint yourself a king. What does this phrase come to add if the point is you're supposed to appoint a king as soon as you inherit the land? So you're going to have to argue, and I think it's a little bit of a difficult argument, that either asking for a king is part of the mitzvah, which is, it's not just a mitzvah to have a king, it's a mitzvah to actually ask for a king, which of course makes it more difficult why when we ask for one we get yelled at. Or you're going to have to say, is God knew that's what we were going to do, that's how we were going to ask, so we put it in the pasuk. Which is also very difficult to say, because we don't normally stick in what's going to happen and say for Shmuel into Bereishis as a prophecy of the future. We don't normally have those type of psukim. But that's what you're going to have to say to make an explanation as to why this is in the pasuk if it's a positive mitzvah. So again, we have lots of issues. And then on top of that, kechol hagoyim. Why does God tell us we should ask for a king to be like the other nations? I think you could search through the entire Tanakh, and I didn't do this, but I'm pretty sure, you will never see God telling us ever to act like the other nations, right? That's not something you ever see. Whenever you go through Tanakh, you see, don't do this like the other nations, don't do this like the other nations. But this mitzvah, all of a sudden, let's asked for it like the other nations. No, why should we have asked for it? We should ask for it because God told us to. We should ask for it because it's a good thing to have. Not we should ask for it because the other nations have one. So already that's a hint that this is negative, meaning we're going to ask for it because the other nations have it, which is bad. And therefore God is saying to us, okay, you can have one under the following restrictions. So again, even though when you looked at our pasuk at first glance, it was, well, we have a mitzvah to have a king, we see there are lots of hints within the way the pasuk is worded to show us that maybe it's not so clear-cut, and maybe it really isn't such a great, a positive mitzvah. However, we do have the language of Som Tassim, and the language of Som Tassim is, you should surely place upon yourself a king, which is a language of mitzvah, like when Parshas Mishpatim, Ve'elah HaMishpatim Asher Tassim Lefanecha. These are, it's a phrase that normally does mean this is a mitzvah. So therefore you can argue, no, it is a mitzvah based on the lashon of Som Tassim. So if you break down our pasuk, the word ki makes us think it's not a mitzvah. Yirashta Miyashafta Ba, we're not really sure why that's included. Vamarta Simalai Melech Kachol HaGoyim, that makes us sound like it's not a mitzvah. But Som Tassim Alech HaMelech does make it sound like a mitzvah. So now we leave our pasuk and we're completely confused because we don't know what to do anymore. Is it positive? Is it negative? Now what do we do? So what we got to do is our next step. We've got to look at the context. So let's look at our parsha and try to figure out if we can get from our parsha, is this a mitzvah or positive mitzvah to have a king? Or is this saying it's a negative thing to have a king, but if you have one, this is how you have to do it. So if you look at this week's parsha, and I gave you a lot of psukim in your next number of sources from this week's parsha, where there are four different types of Jewish leaders discussed. We have in Tet Zayin, Pasuk Yud Chet, Shoftim v'Shoftrim, judges. We have in Yud Zayin, Chet to Yud Aleph, a discussion of the Kohen and the Levi and the Shofet. Then in Yud Zayin, Yud Dalet Tet Vav is our Psukim, the Melech. And then, Devarim Yud Chet, we have the Navi. So we have four types of leaders, the Shofet, the Kohen, the Levi, the King, and the Navi, all being discussed in this week's Parsha. So at first glance, you can also say, well, we know a Shofet is positive. We know a Kohen and a Levi is positive, and we know a Navi is positive. Well, if we're going to be grouping king amongst the list, well, then we should assume a king is positive as well. I mean, why would I list a king amongst a group of very positive types of leadership if a king wasn't positive itself? However, if we take a closer look once again, like we did in our pasuk, we start to have doubts to this theory, which is, well, let's compare the psukim a little bit. There are a bunch of differences between the king and the other three types of leader. Number one, if you look at the psukim of the other three types of leaders that I gave you, the job of the other three leaders is very clear. Shoftiv v'shotrin, I'm going back to the first one, titein lecha b'chol sha'arecha, asher Hashem alokecha notein lecha v'shiftecha, v'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. What's their job? Judging. Clear. Okay. Next one, the Kohen and the Levi. So what is their job? So if you look in the beginning, Pasachet, Ki yipalei mimcha davar l'mishpat. You don't know the halacha. Bein dam l'dan, bein din l'din. You can't differentiate between different bloods. You don't know the different halacha. What do you do? Pasuk says, V'kamta ve'alita al makom asher yivchar shal makachabo. Get up, go to the place God chooses. U'bata al ha-kohen, ha-kohanim ha-levim ve'al ha-shofei asher yiyeh ba'yimim ha-heim v'darashta ve'egidu l'cha davar l'mishpat. You'll ask them the question and they'll tell you the answer. They're there to teach you. They're there to tell you when you don't know a halacha what to do. Clear in the pasuk. When you get to the Navi, also very clear. Navi mikirbecha me'achecha kamoni yakim lecha Hashem elokecha elav tishmuun. You should listen to him. Meaning, I'm going to give him messages. You should listen to what he says. When it comes to the melech, we can read the psukim again and again. It's not there. It is not there. There is no job given to the king. So now you start to wonder, well, why isn't there a job given to the king? If there's a job given to everyone else, why does the king not seem to have a job? On top of that, we have another difference between them, which is by all of the other ones, we have a warning where God says to us, if you don't listen to them, you're in trouble, right? By the Kohen, the Levi, and the Shofet, if you look in Pasuk Yud Aleph, in the Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it's discussing the Kohen, the Levi, and the Shofet in Pasuk Tet, and it says about them in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Al pi ha-Torah asher yarucha ve'al ha-mishpat asher yamru lecha ta'aseh, about all the Torah that they teach you, you should do, lo tasur min ha-davar asher yugidu lecha yamin usma. Don't turn from what they say to the right or to the left, not even a drop. You have to listen to exactly what they said. Also about the Navi, in Perek Yud Zayin, I'm sorry, Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Yud Tet, V'haya ha'ish asher lo yishma el divrai asher yidaber b'shmi Anochi Adrosh Meimo. I'm in the Pesukim about the Navi, so that would be the last one, Perachet. A person that doesn't listen to my words that I say, that the Navi is saying in my name, I will seek him out. Meaning God is saying, I will punish you if you don't listen to the Navi. Very clear from the Pesukim, you don't listen to the Kohen, you don't listen to the Navi, you don't listen to the Shofet, or then you're in trouble. Yeah. I didn't do that. Yeah, so that is not where I'm going for it. And even with that, just to react, it's a very good try. It's true that throughout the rest of Tanakh, when we're discussing Malachim, they normally have a partnership with the Navi, but still, independent from the Navi, the Melech has a job. I agree with you. I agree with 100%. But the question is, the Melech is still not given a job. Meaning here in the text, he's not given a job. Meaning when he's working with the Navi, his job is not to be a Navi. His job is to be a Melech. I agree with you, but she's trying to claim is that the Melech and the Navi, which is true, throughout Tanakh go together and they're a partnership. However, even though they are a partnership, they do have two different jobs. The Melech is always the political leader who leads in battle, and the Navi is the more spiritual leader. So it's clear in the Pesukim that it's saying that the Navi is the spiritual leader. What I want to know is, why does the Pesukim clearly say that the Melech is the political leader? Why does it not say in the Pesuk, when you have a king, his job is to lead you into battle? His job is to lead you politically? His job is to... It doesn't say that at all in the Pesukim. That's part of the question. That's not part of... I can discuss this with you later, okay? But it's not in the Pesukim. Okay, great. So the question that we have as follows is that if you look through the Pesukim, we have two major differences between the Melech and the other three leaders listed. Number one, the Melech is not seen to be given a job. And number two, when it comes to the Melech, I didn't finish my thought here, when it comes to the other leaders, the Pasuk clearly tells us that if you don't listen to them, you're in trouble. When it comes to the Melech, not only does the Pasuk not say that, it actually says the opposite. If you go back to your first source, which I believe is where I gave you those Pesukim, I just didn't want to write the same Pesukim over and over again, after the original Pasuk, it gives a whole list of rules, but not to us, to the king. He can't have a lot of horses, he can't have a lot of wives, he has to write a Sefer Torah, all rules to the king, ending in Pasuk Chav, so I'm in Yuzayim Pasuk Chav, Lebilti Rom Livavo Me'echav, that he shouldn't be more haughtier than other people, Ulebilti Tzur Me'ha Mitzvah Yaminu Smol, the same language that it discusses about us not listening to the other leaders, it's warning against him. He shouldn't turn from the mitzvah that God gives to the right or to the left. That he will be able to have a long-lasting kingship. So it sounds like not only is he treated more like the people, right? He is not given the same respect as the other leaders. He's the one who's warned. He's the one who says, you better listen to God, as opposed to any warning whatsoever of us, we should listen to him. So therefore, it makes it sound like, according to the context, one can argue that the Melech is different. And therefore, based on the fact that we can claim the Melech is different, we don't necessarily have to claim that just because he's listed with the rest of them, he must be a positive thing just like the rest of them. So when we leave right now our Parsha, as we're about to move on to other places in Tanakh to help us, we see that we have a confused picture. We have two different ways to read the Pasuk. One is a positive commandment to have a king, and one is a not-so-positive commandment, a more negative commandment, that if you want to have a king, this is how you do it. And in the Perek, we can argue that Melech is listed with all these positive other leadership, so therefore Melech must be positive. Or we could say, no, the Pesukim clearly are telling us that Melech is different, and therefore it could be it's very different because it's not the same positive-type leadership as the other ones are. So I want to look through Tanakh to try to see if we can get clues if a Melech is a positive or not. Obviously, from Shmuel, it sounded quite negative, but I want to look elsewhere other than Sefer Shmuel. Now, we start in Bereishis, which should be your next source, Bereishis Yud Zayin, and this comes up in many places with the Avos. I just picked this Pasuk, it's the first. When God is blessing the Avos and giving us the bracha that we're going to have a great nation and you're going to be the father of the chosen nation, part of the blessing, if you look at the last three words, Umlachim Mimcha Yetzeu, you're going to have many kings coming from you. And this comes all the time, over and over again. The Avos are promised that you're going to have lots of kings coming from you. So again, if having kings was a negative, why would we be promising the Avos? Why would we be telling our forefathers that they're going to have lots of kings? We would have said, you'll have lots of leaders. You'll have lots of Nevi'im. see it. You'll have lots of shoftim. I don't know, but we wouldn't say malachim unless you would claim that malachim is good. On top of that, in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, when it's about to list all the generations of Esav, and before it does that, it gives this introduction. The Eila Hamlachim Asher Malchu Be'eretz Edom, Lifnei Malach Melech Lifnei Yisrael. These are the kings that ruled in Edom before the Jewish people had a king. Making it sound like the Esav is up on top, he's doing really great, before we have a king. Once we have a king, history changes, and now we start moving on the up, and we're doing really well. So what it sounds like is Malachim, having a Melech, is this turning point in Jewish history, where we go from being, you know, this smaller nation where Esav is kind of dominating, to this great nation, oh, we now have a king. Again, making king sound really quite positive. On top of that, I gave you a pasuk here from Bereishis Lamed Zayin. When Yosef is having all his dreams that he thinks the brothers are bowing down to him and his father is bowing down to him, and the brothers say to him in pasuk Chet, Vayomu lo lechav hamalotim lo cholinu, do you think you're going to rule over us? It's showing that Yosef thought that there was this ideal out there for him to be the king and him to rule over his brothers. Again, showing that the thought about kingdom and having a king was a positive one. If we move out of Bereishis and we go to Shemos, Vayikra, Bemidbar, Devarim, the thought, besides for our pasuk, of course, of having a king, is pretty much missing, except for at the end of Devarim, where we have this interesting pasuk, Vayihi Bishurim Melech, B'tasev Rashi Am Yachat Shifte Yisrael. There was a king in Yeshurin who gathered the heads of the nations together. The heads of the Shvatim together. And there's a machloket as to who that's referring to, but the Ibn Ezra that I gave to you, it says, Melech hu Moshe, Shesham'u Rashi Am Hatov Mefereshet Mipiv, that all the heads of the nation, the heads of the Jewish people of the Shvatim would go listen to Torah that was explained from his mouth. The Hatam, ki hu aya ke Melech, he wasn't a king, but he was like a king. And again, if we're going to compare Moshe to a king, that would make kings look very good, right? Moshe was obviously an ideal type of leader. So if we're going to say he's like a king, then that would make the thought of having a king very positive. So if we look in Torah, right, we look in Bereishis and Devarim, we see positive things being written about a king. So now again, our picture is getting a little bit more confused. But then we move on. Sefer Yehoshua, again, the whole discussion of kingdom is missing, but that I think is a question already, which is now we've hit the time where we should have a king and we don't have one. But then we move to Sefer Shoftim. And Sefer Shoftim as well has a very mixed message when it has to come to a king. We have a shofet named Gidon, who is a positive shofet on the most part. And at the end, after he finishes conquering Midian, the people come to him and ask him for the following thing. On a shoftim paritet, pasachat bet. Vayomer ish Yisrael al Gidon, mashal banu, gam ata, gam bincha, the gam ben bincha, ki oshatanu miyad Midian. Please come rule over us. Please be king over us. You, your son, your grandson, mean be like a king where it gets passed down to the generations. Please, because you saved us, please be our king. And Gidon, Vayomer aleim Gidon, lo emshal ani bachem, v'lo yimshal bini bachem, Hashem yimshal bachem. Gidon says, no, I won't do it. I will not rule over you, my son will not rule over you, ironic, because his son does, as we'll get to in a second. God is your king. And that makes it sound pretty negative, meaning having a king is bad because God's your king. I'm not your king. And the fact that Gidon says no makes it sound again, wait, maybe having a king is not such a good thing. And that becomes even stronger in Sefer Shoftim by the next Shofet, who happens to be Gidon's son, whose name is Abimelech. And what does he do? He kills out 69 of his brothers and gets Shechem to appoint him as king. In the next passage that I gave you, where he is the first king of Jewish people, even though it's not all the Jewish people, but he is our first king, Vayimlichu et Abimelech Lamelech, he becomes king. And what is his reign like? Well, he goes around killing anyone who doesn't like him and says anything against him, until finally, thank God, a woman drops a stone on his head, causing his death. So what we see from the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, at least, is a righteous person saying no to be a king, and a very not righteous person taking upon himself the kingdom, and it not working out very well. However, so that seems very negative. Then we move to the end of Sefer Shoftim, and now we are not sure what to do with this, but the end of Sefer Shoftim has three very tragic stories. Pesal Micha, Pelegesh Bagivah, and the civil war against Binyamin. These are probably, I think, the worst stories that we have in Tanakh. Gruesome, for sure, and pretty miserable type stories. And what happens in between all of these stories? We have the same pasuk over and over again. To start out the story of Pesal Micha as an introduction, the pasuk tells us, Yud Zayin Bab, B'yamim ha'hein ein belech b'Yisrael, ish ha'yashar b'inav yaseh. In these days there are no king, and everyone's doing whatever they want. In the middle of the story of Pesal Micha, we have, B'yamim ha'hein ein belech b'Yisrael. During these days there's no king. Now the story continues. Before Pelegesh Bageva, by he by Mim Hahem in Melech B'Yisrael. During these days, there is no king. To end the entire Sefer Shoftim, last pasuk, by Yamim Hahem in Melech B'Yisrael, Isha Yashar Be'inav Yaseh. In those days, there is no king. Everyone did whatever they wanted. The message seems to be saying, well, all these horrible, terrible stories happen because Ein Melech B'Yisrael, seeming to imply, if there was a Melech B'Yisrael, well, these things may not have happened. He would have made sure it didn't happen. So now within Sefer Shoftim itself, we have two sides here. We have being a Melech is bad, proven by Gidon and Avimelech. But then we have having a Melech is good, proven by the end of the Sefer, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Now we have problems because Ein Melech B'Yisrael. What's actually ironic about this as well is that Sefer Shoftim, as the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that I gave you on the sheet, Shmuel Katav Sifro V'Shoftim Verus. Shmuel wrote Sefer Shoftim. So Shmuel, the one who screams and yells and says, how dare you ask for a king, he's the same guy who wrote, all of our problems are because Ein Melech B'Yisrael. So now I really think you have a headache because you don't know how to read our pasuk, you don't know how to read our parsha, you have mixed messages throughout Tanakh. So what are you supposed to do? So before we get to how Chazal deals with all these problems, let's just take a step back for a second to try to understand why. Meaning, what's the issue here? Why is it that a king might be good or a king might be bad? What are we even arguing about? So I think by looking through all the mefarshim, just to sum up the different ideas that come out in them, there are, let's start with the positive. What's good about having a king? Well, what's good about having a king, number one, is unity. Meaning everyone is united under one leader, which is a major problem that we have throughout all of Sefer Shoftim up until we have a leader. In Sefer Shoftim, not one of the Shoftim, besides possibly Asniel ben Kenaz, could ever gather an army from all the different tribes. Meaning a Shoftim would come, let's say from Menashe or Ephraim, since most of them were from Menashe and Ephraim. They would gather the few tribes around that area to come fight a battle and win the war. They couldn't gather all the Jewish people, they couldn't do it. But comes Shaul, he becomes our first king. Right away, Yavesh Gilad is having problems all the way in Shevet Menashe, where no one really seems to care. And he is able to gather the entire Jewish people together to fight a war. So unity is a major plus when coming to a king. Obviously, of course, fighting wars, having someone to lead us into battle. And I think another positive, which is very clear from before, and Sefer Shoftim, that was a problem, is throughout Sefer Shoftim, over and over, the people keep saying, from the beginning of the Sefer, the end of the Sefer, Mi Yaleh Lanu B'Tchila, they keep asking Hashem, who's going to lead us? We have no leader. What are we going to do? Well, when you have a king, you always have a leader, because if he dies, his son takes over. If he dies, his son takes over. You always have a leader. So it's very positive. The people are united. He's fighting our battles. We are never without a leader. And as some of Farshim points out, if you have a king, you also always have a standing army, so you're always ready for battle, and things are good for that nation. So that's pretty positive, and then you can understand why we would want one. However, let's take the negative side. What's negative about having a king? What we see very clearly throughout Sefer Malachim is that when a king is corrupt, we are corrupt, right? It's all about the king. Meaning the Pesukim and Malachim tell us, we have this king, let's say, for example, Yeravim ben Nebat, he was bad. It just implies then, well, then we were bad. Everything about the time was bad, and we were serving Lord Zara, and everything was bad. You have a corrupt king, you have a corrupt people. And that's very scary, because all that we're relying on is one person deciding that he wants to be bad, and then everything is bad for us. And on top of that, we don't get to pick each person. Like in Shoftim, each one had to deserve to get the status that they got. When it comes to king, the son takes over. So if the son takes over, even if the king is good, the son could be bad, and now you're really in trouble. And normally the rule when it comes to king is the oldest son takes over. And as we know throughout Tanakh, oldest sons are not normally the positive, you know, people that we're looking for in leadership, just as if you run through Torah, right, Avram's oldest son, Yishmael, that he didn't become our leader. Yitzchak had Esav, Yaakov had Reuven, also not our leader. Moshe, we don't know anything about his children because they obviously didn't have leadership qualities. Yoshua, also, we hear nothing about his sons. Eli, we know, Chafni and Pinchas are bad. Shmuel, the people say, your sons are not good like you. Shaul, Yonatan is actually deserving. Ironic, he's the only one that doesn't get to take over. David, his first son, his eldest son, Amnon, rapes his stepsister. His next son up, kills his older son. You know, we have all these problems. So you can see just from the system that if you're going to say the king, the oldest son has to take over, even for our most righteous characters in Tanakh, the oldest son didn't really cut it so well. So therefore, this is a system that's doomed to fail if they automatically get to be king just because they are the son of the king before them. And of course, in the third, and I would say the biggest problem that comes up in the Mefarshim, and I think clear in the Pesukim as well, is that a king, in a lot of ways, replaces God. Meaning, he takes a lot of the jobs that God has, and now the people are going to think the king is doing it as opposed to God. Meaning, what am I saying? There are really three jobs that a king has, right? He has war, as we keep saying. He also has punishment, I guess. He's the end result. I mean, there are judges, but at the end of the day, you go to the king, and the king decides if you live or die. And he's also in charge of the economy. He's the one that helps, right? We had Paro, who tried to figure out how to save Egypt and the whole world. The king has the job of the economy. Well, if you quickly go through the psukim that I gave you, it is very clear from the psukim that those are all three of God's roles. Right? In Shemot Tefav Gimel, Hashem Ish Mochama, Hashem Shemo, he's the one that fights our battle. Shemot Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Bet, V'shalachti Lufanecha Malach, V'garashi Yitzaknani Hamori, V'achitzi V'aprizi V'achiv V'vusi. God is promising that he, represented by an angel, is going to go in front of them and destroy all of their enemies. And I gave you two more psukim here as well, where it's very clear throughout Tanakh that God is the one who fights our battles. Vayitein Hashem Elokeinu Bi'adenu, he is the one that gives our enemies over to us. We don't need a king, we have God. Then when it comes to punishment, there's two different systems that we have. In the time of Torah, we had God. We didn't know what to do. What did Moshe do in that time? Stuck the guy in jail, Vayikra Chavdala. We're talking about the Makala, we spoke about last time I was here. A person who curses God. What happens? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. What do you do? So you kill him, as God says. But you go to God. You don't turn to a king. You turn to God for the final say. And when it's not the time of Torah and Nebuah, we can't turn to God. We turn to Beis Din. We don't turn to the Melech. We turn to the Beis Din. How about the economy? Well, the economy is something we say every day How do we make the economy good? We do mitzvot. We listen to God. How does the economy turn bad? Because we're not listening to God. Well, if we have a king that goes and fixes up the system and fixes up the economy, that's undermining our whole system. Meaning if things are bad in the economy, we're supposed to do tshuva. We're not supposed to now get a king to try to figure out how to make the economy better. That's the system that's in place that we're supposed to be doing tshuva. So you could understand by having a king and relying on a king really undermines God's authority and really an issue, and therefore would make sense that we wouldn't say having a king is a mitzvah. So now what do? We understand both theories. We see how both theories come up in Tanakh. What do we do now? So let's move on to the Chazal. And as we'll see, they argue too. So the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Chaf Amud Bet, has a machloket. Makes sense. Ki haya Rabbi Huda Omer, Shlosha Mitzvot Nitzavu Yisra B'Knisatam Ha'aretz, and one of them being, Lahamid Lahem Melech. So Rabbi Huda clearly thinks there are three mitzvot when you get to Eretz Yisrael, one of them being appointed king. He clearly thinks king is a mitzvah. You move on in the Gemara though, Rav Naharai Omer, no. Lo ne'amar parsha zu, ela k'nega terumatan, she'ne'amar v'amarta asim alai melech v'gomer. He says, no, this pasuk is not a mitzvah. This pasuk is what to do when you come complaining that you want a king. And therefore, he thinks clearly it is not a mitzvah. So we have a machloket in the Gemara, which then turns into a machloket Rishonim, where I'm going to read a few highlights from some of them. The Rambam, the Ramban, the Sefer Achinuch say, yes, it's a mitzvah, and then they have to explain away all the problems that we brought up. And Ibn Ezra, the Sfarnu, Abarbanel, and the Malbim, they say, no, it's not a mitzvah, and they have to explain away all the other problems that we brought up. So let's quickly move through just a few highlights. The Rishonim that say it's not a mitzvah. We have two different opinions within these Rishonim. We have the opinion which I will have represented by the Ibn Ezra, and the opinion represented by the Abarbanel, which is also taken by the Sfarnu and the Malbim. Ibn Ezra says, Melech is not a negative, it's also not a positive. Therefore, it's just allowed. If you want to do it, it's allowed. As he says, Som tasim rishus, you're allowed to have a king. What's the mitzvah though? He has the same reading. The mitzvah is how you have a king. It's not that it's a good thing or a bad thing, it could be either. But you're allowed to have a king. The Abarbanel takes it the other way, which is how we've been assuming it this whole time, is that having a king is absolutely negative. I'm just going to read a little bit of him inside. He goes on for pages. Shema perish parshat hamelech v'inyan hamitzvah kemi amitata. Let me tell you about this inyan of the king according to the truth, he says. Hinei v'amro ki tavo al ha'aretz asher Hashem alokecha notein lecha v'yirashav yishavta ba v'amar tassim alai melech l'chol agayim asher tzvotai, quoting our pasuk, ein v'zeh mishu mitzvah klal. This is not a mitzvah at all. Ki lo tziva Hashem Yisparach sheyom ruzeh v'yishalu melech. God would never tell us that we should say this and ask for a king. Aval hinehu hagderet ha'atid. He's just telling us what's going to happen in the future. Yomar acharei heyotchem be'eretz hanivcharet. After you're in the chosen land. Va'acharei hakibush v'hamilchamo kulam. After all the conquering and all the wars. Acharei hachiluk and after the splitting up of the land. V'zehu amru v'yirash v'yishatabach. And that's what the pasuk is saying when it says, and you've inherited and you've settled. This is the time when you're going to do it, which is true. Ani yadati, I know, God saying, shetihiyu kifuyim tova. You're going to be so unappreciative. You're going to be so kafui tov against me. Kishetomru me'atzmachem asim alai melech lo b'pnei hechrech lilachem im ha'amim. He says, you're just going to say, give me a king, not because you need it. You don't need it to fight the wars. You look foshet to arzit to conquer the land. Ki kavar hi nechbeshet lefnechem. It's already conquered. Ki im ashtachavot im ha'alot ha'malichim alei ha'melech. But rather, it's just to bow down in front of the other king, to bow down to Avodah Zarah just like the other kings and to be like the other kings. So the Abarbanel has a number of proofs, which we don't have time to read inside, and I didn't give you all of them, as to why it is he thinks it's an absolute negative that they ask for a king, and they should not have asked. So number one, he pointed out a little bit, he continues on in the source I gave you, that he says is that if they really were supposed to get a king, again, they should have asked for it before the wars, meaning now, when the wars are all over, there's no point to a king. There's nothing to do with a king. So, of course, God wouldn't have told you to do it then, but that's just when you were going to ask for a king, and that's why the pasuk says it in that way. Also, he says, why would God have told you to ask for a king, like we mentioned before? Kechol agayim. God would have never said that. God would have said, ask for a king, like I commanded you to do, not ask like all the guns. So you think that's also another proof. On top of that, he says, how do I know it's negative? Because if it really was a mitzvah, when Shmuel yelled at them and said, how dare you ask for a king, the Jewish people would have turned around and said, what do you mean? It's a pasuk in Devarim. What are you talking about, right? But they don't, because there is no mitzvah. And of course, on top of that, he says, the fact that Yehoshua doesn't appoint a king at the appropriate time shows that it's not a mitzvah as well. So Abarbanel has very good points as to why we can claim, based on our pasuk and based on lots of evidence, that it is not a mitzvah at all. And this is the opinion shared by the Malbim and other sources as well. However, there we show him on the other side. I say, no, it's absolutely a mitzvah. The Rambam that I gave you here, who quotes the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara, Shlosh mitzvot nisavu Yisrael b'shak yisatam ha'aretz, one being, again, one mitzvah that is given to us when we get to Eretz Yisrael, the note lahem melech, to appoint a king, which is interesting. He has to change the language that it's a king when you get to the land, not when you inherit the land, to help his theory, because again, what's the point of having a king once you inherit? He changes the language of the pasuk in a little bit to understand the pasuk differently, that the mitzvah applies as soon as you get into Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban agrees with this approach. However, I'm going to do this outside because I see I'm running low on time. The Ramban has to explain to us, how do you understand our pasuk? And he goes through the different explanations that we went through here, saying the whole Va'amarta, and you say, Asima la'mel kechol agayim, that's either because part of the mitzvah is to ask for a king, and that will explain that piece of the pasuk, or because that is what you're going to do in the future, so therefore God said to say it that way, because he's just really predicting what's going to happen. That's the Ramban, which again was a flaw in the pasuk itself, but it's a way to rationalize it into the pasuk to save the theory that Melech really is a king. The Sefer HaChinuch, which again we're not going to read inside for lack of time, goes on to explain why he believes Melech is a positive thing, and he discusses how it's impossible to take a group of people in a room and discuss one topic and come out with one conclusion. And based on that reason alone, we need to have a king to be the final say to come out with a conclusion in any topic whatsoever, or else you just can never be productive because you'll never have a conclusion of what everyone should do. So the Sefer HaChinuch also holds that it is positive. The problem, though, with this theory, and the fundamental problem with this theory, is what do you do with Sefer Shmuel? If it's positive, if I'm supposed to ask for a king, and a king is a good thing, according to the Rambam, the Ramban, the Sefer HaChinuch, why did Shmuel get angry? Why did Shmuel rip into them and say, how dare you, how could you, God say, it's as if you hate me? What was going on in Sefer Shmuel? There are many, many answers, and I'm going to do a quick synopsis of a lot of these approaches outside. As to what one could possibly say to answer this question if you want to take this theory. I think you can really narrow it down to three types of possibilities. It's not what they said, because what they said was correct. They were supposed to say that. They were supposed to ask for a king. But it's either when they said it, when they asked for it, how they asked for it, the words that they used, or why they said it, the intentions that they had when they asked for it, which were incorrect. So let's start with when. There are two possibilities of the when theory. Either number one is, if we look at our pasuk, when are we supposed to ask for a king? We're supposed to ask for a king when we have inherited the land and we've settled in it. So even though in Sefer Yoshua it said we inherited the land and we settled in it, if you look throughout Sefer Shoftim and then Shmuel, we have lots of issues. Why do we have issues? Because Canaanim are living in the land, Pelishtim are living in the land. So did we really conquer the whole land? No, we didn't. We didn't finish conquering. So maybe it's possible, you could claim, that God didn't want us to have a king until the land was completely settled. Then, when the land is completely settled, no more enemies, you can have a king. Now, logically, this makes a lot of sense based on what we said. If what God's worried about with a king is that you're not going to realize God is involved in battle, and you're going to think the king is the one fighting your wars, well, then God didn't want you to have one until all the wars were done. So you know that God fought all the wars for you, and then you have a king for the daily life, to make the decisions, to be the end, you know, to create the unity that you needed. That would be the reason for a king. If that's true, well then Shmuel's time was too early. There were still Plishtim involved in the land, as we know. They keep bothering us throughout the time of David. So maybe one can claim it wasn't how they asked or what they said. It was just too early. They weren't supposed to ask yet. That's one possibility. The other possibility, which is brought down in the first source that I gave you, in the Ramban, is that maybe they asked during Shmuel's time. And specifically, Shmuel's time was incorrect. As we know, when you read through Sefer Shmuel, when you read about Shmuel, he was probably one of the most righteous leaders we've ever had. Everything's going very well. And as the Ramban points out, "V'haya kol zeh mipnei shehaya Shmuel shofet v'navi v'lochem v'mechomoteihem al pi Hashem u'moshi otam." Shmuel is the shofet, the navi. He fights their wars. He's saving them. "V'lo haya lehem l'shol melech v'yamav." There was no reason to have a king during this time. I understand you want a king when things are bad in the time of Shoftim. Okay. But in Shmuel's time, that was incorrect to ask for a king. That's the Ramban's answer to that question. So that's when. How about how? Maybe how they ask. Well, the way to figure that out is if you compare the psukim. So how did God tell us to ask in Devarim versus how we actually ask? So the Kli Yakar has a fascinating approach where I gave you the psukim, I believe, again, right next to each other. So now you can compare them. Devarim Yud Zayin, Yud Dalet Achav versus Shmuel Aleph, Perachet Pasuk Hey. Where in Devarim we're supposed to say asima alai, and in Shmuel we say sima lanu. And he picks up on the differences between the word alai and lanu. Alai means put a king on me. I accept his authority. He's on me. I will do what the king says. Sima lanu, according to Kli Yakar, is put for us. We want a king for us, to work for us, to do things for us. And we're not going to read it inside, but he claims, which is a very fascinating approach, is the reason why God wanted us to have a king is that through respecting a king, we will come to learn how to respect authority and therefore respect God as well. But if our attitude towards the king is he's working for us and not that we're going to listen to him, then that's a very messed up way of looking for a king and an incorrect way of looking for a king. That's the Kli Yakar, which is interesting. If you compare the language, though, a little bit more, there is a word difference between the two. In Devarim, it doesn't say l'shiftenu. In Shmuel, we do say the king should, l'shiftenu, should judge us. And maybe that's the big problem, which is a king's job is not to be a shofet. You look in this week's parsha, we have a shofet, we have a king. Two totally separate things. The shofet is supposed to judge according to God's rule. The king has a different job. So if we're going to ask for a king to do the job of a different type of leader, maybe that was the problem. And I gave you here a few psukim, or I gave you another pasuk here, Shmuel Aleph Perachet Pasuk Vav, where later it repeats why Shmuel is so upset about what they did, and it repeats again the word l'shaftenu. Ve'yirah ha'davar b'enei Shmuel, he was so upset, it was so bad in his eyes, kasher amru t'nala numelch l'shaftenu. Why? Because they asked for a king to judge us. So maybe based on that, as pointed out by the Drashot Haran, which we don't have time to go into now, which is that's exactly his theory, which is it wasn't that they asked for a king. Asking for a king was fine. But asking for a king to judge, asking for a king to not do his job, but to do someone else's job, that was the mistake. So far we've done the when and we've done the how. I'm sorry, the when and the how, right? Either when they asked was incorrect or how, using the wrong language. Now let's look at the why they asked. So there's a few things we can look at to try to figure out what is wrong with the way that they did it. So number one is I looked at a different pasuk. In Shmuel Aleph Perachet Pasuk Yotet, which should be next on your source, later on we have the people speak again as to why they want a king. And they say, if you look at Pasuk Chaf, "V'hayinu gam anachnu k'chol agoyim, u'shaftanu malkeinu, v'yatza lefaneinu, v'nolcham etz mechamotim." We want to be like the Goyim. We want him to judge us. We've already discussed him judging. And we want him to go out with us in war. So maybe all three of those were the issue. So either number one, we could say Kechol HaGoyim. They're Dafka asking to be like Kechol HaGoyim, which is the interpretation brought out by the Gemara and Sanhedrin that I gave you and the Sifrei, which is asking to be like the Goyim was incorrect. Of course, they have a problem because in Devarim it says that that's how you should ask. And that's a problem that they're going to have to say. Devarim is a reaction to Shmuel, which is difficult, but that would have to be the claim. Or the fact that they say we want a king to go out and fight our battles. And again, as we've discussed, if the whole point is that we want God to be the one, or God's role is to fight our battles, then we shouldn't be asking for a king to go out and fight our battles. So at the end of the day, what we see here is two very different views. And within these two views, there are pluses and minuses to both sides. We have, there's a positive commandment to have a king, and therefore it is a good thing to have a king, we should have a king, and then we have to rationalize away in some way why, and say for Shmuel, we don't have a king, we do have a king, we get a king, but we get it in a very negative fashion with Shmuel yelling at us, either because we asked wrong, we said it wrong, we did it wrong, we had something wrong going on. The other side is you're not supposed to have a king is bad. However, sometimes when you ask for it, this is the way you're supposed to ask for it. And then it makes sense why Shmuel gets so angry when we ask for it because we really weren't supposed to. Those are our two different theories we've seen. However, I think based on Ibn Ezra, who said that maybe having a king is a reshus, I think we have a third approach, which is duality approach. King is good, king is bad. What do I mean? If you have a good king that helps lead you in the path to follow Hashem and listen to Hashem and know that Hashem is behind everything, that's a good king, and that would be positive. If you have a king that's bad and is not going to lead you in the way of Hashem, but in his own way and make it sound like he's the one doing everything, that would be a bad king. And possibly in that way, we can kind of fix all of our problems. Meaning, it's not that king is good or bad. A king is both. It can be good, it can be bad. And therefore, either you have to claim it's a mitzvah to have a king, but the mitzvah to have a king is specifically a good one, or there's no mitzvah to have a king, but if you want one, make sure to have a good one. That's the whole point of the pasuk. Make sure to pick the one God said. And now we understand everything. We understand why in Bereishis there's a positive view on king, because we're talking about a good type of king. Good kings are going to come from you in the future, Avram. That's what God is saying. So it's also clear why in Shoftim we have a mixed message. Abimelech represents a bad king, right? That's why that's negative. What we're saying, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, we're talking about a good king. We don't have a good king in the Jewish people, and that's why things are so bad. And then, of course, you're going to have to explain, as we just went through, that Shmuel, in the time of Shmuel, they didn't ask for the right type of king, and that's why they got into all of these issues. So at the end of the day, there's really three approaches to this problem. We used our psukim itself in our last week's parsha, this past week's parsha. We looked at the context. We then looked throughout Tanakh to try to get an understanding as to king, and we saw three different trends. Either it's good, we have to rationalize away all the bad evidence. It's bad, we have to rationalize away all the good evidence, or we can take a middle ground and put everything together. Thank you very much.